Well, good morning. I'd like to welcome you to another edition of our Anchored in the Word Morning Reflection. And we are looking at the last part of the series that we've been doing on Luke chapter 7 and how Christ addressed the people that were following him after they heard about John the Baptist's doubts and his questions that he had. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to take all the things we talked about this week and try to pull it into something practical. Not that the other things that we've talked about aren't practical. I believe that they are. But something that we need to do, a way that we need to respond in light of these truths. And so if you have a Bible, let's turn together to Luke chapter 7, and we're looking at verses 31 down to verse 35, just to remind ourselves of the passage that we're looking at. And then we're going to talk about learning from Christ's example this morning. Here's what it says. And the Lord said, "Whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation? To what are they like? They're like unto children sitting on the marketplace, calling one to another and saying, 'We have piped unto you, and we have not danced. We have mourned, and you have not wept.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He hath a devil.' The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Behold, a gluttonous man, a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners.' But wisdom is justified of all her children." Now, we've looked a lot at how Christ was addressing these people, and ultimately he was addressing them because within that group of people following him, there were a lot of different spiritual situations. There were some people that were genuine believers. They believed that Christ was the Messiah. They were confident of that. They were trusting in him. They were looking forward to Christ coming to establish a basis of redemption. There were people that were just a part of the crowd. And as they are watching and as they are listening, they're intrigued by what they see. They're intrigued by what they hear. But when people begin to fall away, they begin to fall away as well. There's also a group within there that he is very concerned about. And that's the group that was hardened in unbelief. They were unwilling to face the implications of the gospel message, the message that John was preaching in preparation for the Messiah, the message that Christ is preaching, that he's there to establish a basis of redemption. They were rejecting that because of the implications of it. And so the question is, how did Jesus actually deal with these people? Well, we're going to look at his example. The first thing I'm going to mention about the way that Christ dealt with them is he began with questions. Questions are great because a question makes a person think about implication. You know, one of the reasons that Jesus taught in parables was that when a person heard a parable, they would say, "I know Jesus is saying something here." And if they wanted to know what he was saying, they would ponder it, they would consider it, they would chew it over, and maybe through that chewing over, they would come to understand it, or maybe they wouldn't understand it, and they would come to Christ, and they would say, "Can you explain to us what you're talking about?" Well, the fact is that when you ask a person a question, if they really are willing to know the truth, they're going to consider the question that's there. The second thing that is very important about the way that Christ dealt with these people is he began with a basic assumption that they knew what he was saying was true, even if they were rejecting it. You know, when a person is hearing a message like the gospel or hearing the law, and we're talking about the law and the fact that God is righteous and we're not righteous, and we go bit by bit through that, it's easy for us to look at a person who is denying or deflecting or acting as if, "Well, I don't believe these things," and to assume that they actually don't in the depths of their heart understand what this is saying is true. I really am guilty. I really am answerable to God. My conscience is condemning me. We need to recognize that when Christ is dealing with his people, he goes back to that question. Why did you come into the wilderness? Was it to see a reed shaken with the wind or someone who is dressed delicately? And the answer is neither. It was not someone who would just tell you what you wanted to hear or someone who was going to give you this prosperity message. They were there because they knew John was a prophet. He was speaking for God, and they wanted to know what he had to say. And so Jesus began with that basic assumption, that a person's conscience is pricked when the word of God is presented clearly. The third thing is he expounded truth. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Jesus tells us that when the Holy Spirit would come, he would convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. The question is, how does the Holy Spirit convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment? Well, he's going to take the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And so the Holy Spirit takes the word and he uses it to open our eyes to our lost condition, to convict our heart of our lost condition, to show us through the reasoning of the scriptures that we fall short of God's glory and there's no way we can come into his presence in and of ourselves. And what he does is he works in our heart. The Spirit works through the word. And so what does Jesus do? He expounds truth. A fourth thing. He spoke plainly about what their response was. Jesus didn't say something like, well, you know, all roads lead to Rome. And so, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can take to get into the kingdom of God and to be brought into the presence of the Father. I'm just one of many ways. So hopefully you'll accept my way. But, you know, there's other ways that you can do this. He didn't say that. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said that there is a narrow way that leads to life, and there are few that follow it. And he says, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. And the idea is he's saying, all these different ways, lots of people like them, but there's one narrow way. It is through the work of Christ. There's only one way to the Father. And so he speaks very plainly. If you are rejecting this message, whether it is with a defiance and an anger, or whether it's just it's just one of the ways, and it's just kind of smug and just lets it go to the side. Either way, he views it as rebellion, and he's very clear about that. The next thing, he warned them that their complacency was deadening their conscience. The other day, we burn wood in our house. That's how we heat our house. And I love splitting wood, except when it bothers my shoulder. And I love that dry heat that you get in the winter when you burn wood. And it's something that I enjoy doing. But the other day, I was moving around wood, and without thinking, I grabbed something without a glove on, and I burned my finger. In fact, I have a streak right there on my finger. And that little area is dead right now. I don't mean it's like it's never going to have feeling again. But when that happened, it kind of deadened it. And that's what happens to our conscience when we're exposed to the truth and we reject it. When we train ourselves to reject the conviction that we're feeling, what we're doing is extremely dangerous. And so Jesus warns them. He says, your complacency is deadening your conscience. You are becoming like the children in the marketplace who are playing games and you're not listening to what's being said. The last thing I'm going to mention is that Jesus did not get distracted by the background noise. With all the things going on, all the accusations, the way that people were responding, Jesus kept his focus on what people needed. They needed the truth. And there's only one simple way of salvation through his work of redemption. He didn't get distracted by all these other arguments and all these other areas. He kept his focus on the truth. And we can learn from that. What Jesus did in this passage is a great pattern for us to follow. So I want to be very practical about it. What can we take away from these verses? Well, let me first of all ask, let's invite ourselves to ask some questions. What do we believe about ourselves? Do we believe that we are good and righteous and holy and God can accept us on the basis of our works? Why should God accept us? That's a question we should ask ourselves. Who is Jesus? Do we believe that he is God in flesh, Emmanuel, who came and died for our sins and rose from the dead? What do we believe about the cross? Was it necessary? Was it necessary because my sins were being placed on him? What did he purchase? Eternal life. How do I receive the gift of eternal life? Through faith alone in Christ. How do I answer those questions? How I answer those questions ultimately gets down to the heart of whether or not I understand the gospel and whether or not my faith is planted on that message that alone can save. If you are sitting here this morning and listening to this message, or maybe at another time, if you do not understand the gospel, if you've never placed your faith in Christ, and you know that's what you need to do, I ask you the question, what's holding you back? What's keeping you from turning to Christ, from placing your faith in what he's done for you? You may say, well, I'm still not clear on this. I hear grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, not of works. And it's so different than what I feel should be the way of salvation, or what I've heard in my church, or what's the popular method. Listen, it's not about what we feel, and it's not about what's popular, and it's not about what a church is preaching. It's about what the Bible says. That's the authority. That's the final authority. What's keeping you from placing your faith in Christ? If you've never done that, I want to invite you and encourage you to place your faith in Christ. If you need ask some questions, please reach out to me. You can send a Facebook message to the church office, to the church Facebook account. You can email us. You could send me a text if you have my number. I'd be glad to meet with you, talk to you over the phone, dialogue with you through email or through Facebook Messenger, explain to you how you could be saved, what Christ has done for you. And then I want to encourage you with this. If you are a believer, and I believe that's probably the vast majority of folks who are listening to these Anchored in the Word studies, if you're a believer, then you need to approach evangelism having been informed by the way that Christ dealt with these issues. It's important for us to ask questions, to recognize that the Holy Spirit does convict people of sin, righteousness, and judgment. When they're squirming and when they're arguing and all those things, keep your focus on the truth. Let the Spirit of God work in people's hearts. That's my encouragement to you this morning. Let's take this passage and let's really internalize it, and let's learn to interact with folks who do not know the Lord as their Savior, having been shaped by the wisdom of the way that Christ dealt with the lost. I hope that you have a great weekend, and I look forward to, Lord willing, next week continuing our series in a different passage of Scripture. That'll be the passage that we look at this coming Sunday. Have a great weekend, and Lord willing, we'll see many of you on Sunday. And if not, look forward to chatting with you, perhaps through Facebook or some other means at another time. Have a blessed day. Bye now.